Now at Verizon, we're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's our best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, we got you. Visit your local Chicago Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Spreadsheets, clunky software, 100 different logins just to run your business? Ah.
There's a better way. Odoo. One simple, connected platform that handles sales, inventory, accounting, and more. So you can focus on growing, not juggling. Make the switch today at odoo.com. That's O-D-O-O.com.
Finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my baby business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey to $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio.
What's up? Hey, Sales Funnel Radio, hope you guys are doing fantastic. I started this podcast, which is mind-blowing to me, that I started it, it was 2016? It was 2016. It was the middle of 2016. I started it because I was literally sitting next to Russell Brunson at ClickFunnels, and I was like, man, if this guy who, at that point, ClickFunnels was already like a $100 million company, you know? I mean, I don't know if that's exactly true. I don't know if you could take that to the bank, but it was insane. We already had like 14,000 users of ClickFunnels by that time. He wasn't spending any money on ads to do it. It was crazy. I finished my marketing degree and then started working for Russell, where my real marketing degree, happened. I feel like I got a corporate marketing degree, you know what I mean? And then I got a direct response marketing degree because I spent another 2 years, you know what I mean? It was like going to specialty school. And I know I bring up stories from there a lot, but it's something that we all know. It's something that the majority of us have all benefited from, the hard work and effort, which he does not need to do, you know? So I just have so much admiration and love for ClickFunnels, but Russell specifically, obviously, and that's why I bring up so many of these stories. But I remember I started this podcast because I was watching him and I was like, if this dude who's already running this company that's this successful and there's only like 20 of us in the business, and if this guy can pull his phone out and drop a podcast, or write a post or an email, and he doesn't do all those things all on his own anymore, understandably, but he still does way more than I think people realize. I was like, there must be something to it, because I always made fun of it. I was like, you're going to spend time making content, and that was before I worked there, and I was like, and it's like, you know what? It's like half the job of a marketer, and if you don't spend time making content, you're not marketing, Content is like how it gets delivered, and so, anyway. So I was like, I started this, and I decided to start the podcast. if you listen to the first like 20 episodes, I was so freaking nervous, man. It sounds like I'm reading because I was reading, I was absolutely reading. I wrote out all the scripts and I was reading, and I was so afraid to mess up, certainly OCD, perfectionist kind of behavior, that I've had to kind of like work on over my life, but I still have to. There's a part where it's awesome as a designer, there's a part where it's really sucky in terms of timelines of projects. But anyway, so first 20 episodes, I'm like totally reading, And I remember by like episode 20-ish, I was like, I think I could do this by just bullet pointing it. But I was not great at the delivery. Well, what I'm saying is good, but the delivery of the thing that I'm saying is, I was really, I don't know. anyway, so just, I know a lot of you have been following since literally 2016. This podcast has been going for 8 years. the premise of the podcast was for me to document my journey, the original premise, document my journey to my first $1 million. And the first 100 episodes is me sitting next to Russell. And I didn't time it this way. It just kind of happened that I left my job and my very first day out on my own was episode 101. So the first 100 episodes is literally next to, you know, at ClickFunnels. And then after that, from episode 100 to like, I think it's like 240-ish, not even that long, that where I documented my journey to my first million, which took 13 months to the day. And then from there is the second million and the third and the fourth and the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, the eighth, the ninth, the 10th, the 11th, the 12th. And it kept going. And it's really interesting to watch the patterns. To watch the patterns on what caused, you know, revenue the fastest and then profit the fastest and then business things the fastest. And I'm saying this episode because a lot of what this has become, I have never come forward and said like, I am the end all be all and all funnel tactics and funnel lore. I'm a student of the game as much as I am a teacher of it, right? I had a really cool teacher once say, he's a shaman, so fill in the blanks. He said, you know, you're always a student, sometimes a teacher, right? And I just read a cool quote the other day also. It was like, you know, a teacher gets to learn for two. Teachers get to learn for themselves and for other people as well. So, and I consider myself to be a teacher kind of above all, which means I have to learn like crazy too. It's just so fun. It's part of why I love it. So this podcast one of the reasons I've been so open with all of you is I am being open about the successes and the struggles, you know, and on a business level, and it's also a little bit on a personal level, right? And that might be a struggle that's come from from launching something all the way to finding my voice and the confidence to share stuff and speak and share my opinion without apology. And it's really funny. You can hear it was by about like episode like 30. Well, no, episode probably like 40-ish, where I was like, oh my gosh, I should share my opinions like without so much apologizing and so much pre-framing. And I don't mean to offend everybody and all this stuff that I was doing. It's really funny if I go back and actually listen to it. But so my point is, it is about documenting the journey, right? And so I'm going to document the journey real quick to tell you what this sales funnel skill has begun to open up as of late that I was not planning on, you know? And I think that's one of the major cool aspects of a skill that is so universal on the internet. It can take in these different industries and places. You know, it began by me. I started using funnels to build the funnels for other companies because I didn't have a product. And then when I did have a product, I was still learning certain parts of the game. And then I became a funnel builder for affiliate stuff. So now I was getting paid for everything I put in there. And then I really started getting good at building my own products. So then I put my own products in there and built my own offer formulas and stuff. Anyway, an arena has opened up that I was never planning on. Sorry, this person has just been like tailgating me so freaking hard. I don't know what it is. When I started driving a 4Runner, I was just getting tailgating like mad. When I drive my truck, no one would do it. I was like, is it just the car? Is the fact that I'm not in a truck? I don't know what it is. Like, I totally want to test it. I really miss my truck. Anyway, so. All right, well. Morons exist. Okay. So here's my point. First and foremost, the point of this show is for me to document the journey on the way. So a part of this has been for me to share like the ups and the downs and the in-betweens and all this stuff. So, I have begun, just under the banner of me documenting the journey, I have begun to be approached by big businesses lately, like really big ones, asking to me for me to be more of like a fractional CMO role. And I've done that before, and I've done that in several different places now, and it's such a fun gig. I like short-term fractional CMO, you know? Short-term to me, meaning like the 6-month range, because then I can come in and actually like have some serious positive effect and shifting and changing, stuff like that. One of the things that's hard about funnel building is that when you do it to a brand new business, there's so many variables, you don't know if it's actually the funnel that's what's wrong. Does that make sense, what I just said? That's a big... That's one of the hard parts about funnel building with a brand new business that I've noticed more and more is half the time the business isn't even clear who their customer is yet. And then they go out and they build a funnel. And when you're not clear on the customer or where your marketplace is, making actual effective marketing is very challenging. It's a little bit more like gambling, right? And I'm not saying it can't work, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't go build a funnel, but just notice that there's a lot more variables that a business that's past $100 million that they kind of know, right? And that's why they're past $100 million, is because they're so clear on their customer, they're so clear on their fulfillment. They understand, you know what I mean? There's a lot more actual business and company foundation that's in place. And so what's been really interesting for me to notice lately is these businesses who have... These businesses who've been coming in that are really big, they have certain elements down pat that it's like I have to convince and continue to sell and resell a small entrepreneur on. And small meaning someone who is 6 and 7 figures, right? That's still small. And so, you're barely in the market game if you're at 6 figures. Like, that's just the reality. You're barely in it at all. When you make 7 figures, you're not rich, you're in business. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, welcome to the game. You know, here's your seat at the table. All right, then the name of the game is all about removing yourself while scaling marketing and sales, right? And it can help keep, it's really about hiring. That really is what gets you past like the 8 figures piece. And then you start building like a little more of a leadership team and really scaling the sales efforts. That's really gets it past you, you know, towards that $100 million range. It's about doing less stuff better, you know, constantly, all the time. There are different things that you deal with at different phases of the game. And so it's been really, really fun to be approached by these companies that are freaking huge. And they're like, they're saying, you know, man, I built a lot of funnels over the last 10 years. Sometimes I don't want to personally build funnels, you know? And that's not always true. It depends on the clients and depends on the project. And some projects, understandably, just like your own company, your own business, some projects just get you straight up jacked, and some are like, yeah, this is, you're right, strategically we should do this thing, but I don't know if I necessarily love it, you know. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, so these businesses that have been reaching out, I mean, some of them have 2,000 clients on their own. Some of them have, there's one where these guys are, they've acquired this massive software business, and now they want help. It's been a lot of software companies lately, you know, and that's been really fun, because I was able to see what mechanisms really grew the ClickFunnels membership the fastest. There were things that we did that worked really well, and there are things that we did that were good ideas that did not work very well for one reason or another. And so these a lot of softwares lately have reached out, and they're like, could you come run the ClickFunnels playbook? You know, and I'm like, yeah, I mean, I'm not, I can't guarantee anything, but yeah, there are certain things that just really exploded, the subscribership, you know, and made it big, and we might as well go try them, you know. So that's what's been so cool. So one of the major issues that I've been running into, though, it's been an interesting game to play. So when I work with a company, this is something really serious to note, and this is like one of the major lessons of this episode. The huge businesses, I'm having to do a lot more funnelology educating. A lot of them don't know stuff about funnels, you know, or they have a little bit of understanding, but they're not like nerds over it, which is fine. A lot of the businesses that are brand spanking new, you know a lot about funnels, but what they're really struggling on is sales education. They're really struggling on sales education. And, but it's the exact opposite with these companies that are just gigantic. Did you hear what I just said? This is an interesting pattern I'm starting to notice. There are, like, one of the most common streaks in the entire thing, the entire game. All these businesses have been reaching out lately. There's one company, they want to go change, like, healthcare, like, as a whole, and make it about health. And they're poised to do it. And I'm like, holy smokes. And they're asking me to come on in and be a chief growth officer for them and just be constantly on the hunt of new acquisition strategies. And I'm like, that's my jam, man. That's so freaking fun. That's what I love. It's a blending of the marketing, sales, and sales funnel building skills. There's another one that we're talking about, like national level investing, and they just put up another $200 million investment piece, and they're like, we could take another $200 million. He's like, we just got to go find more. So they're like massive projects that have huge effects on stuff. And it's been so fun. And I got to tell you, I feel like it's more my skill set and my jam, like, to go work with these massive businesses. Sometimes my crap gets too deep for people, you know? Like way too deep for people. And I get it. Like, meaning, I just know it's so funny. Like, I'll even get, just speaking of Russell, I love him like a brother. I'll get messages from him every once in a while and I'll be like, hey man, you're getting a little too deep again. I'll be like, crap, I know, but it's just my thing. You know, I like to go deep. I like to see the patterns. And then when really big projects come out, where I've made a mistake, there's nothing wrong with doing that, by the way, where I've made a mistake. If you've not heard the podcast episode that I did, I don't know, it was like 2, 3, 4 episodes ago about simplicity. There's nothing wrong with going deep. The problem is that when you start selling deep, you know what I mean? That's, or fulfilling deep, or, you know, all your marketing is deep, or there's too much, like, simplicity is sales, simplicity scales, simplicity is the best for fulfillment. Simplicity, it's all about being simple in what you do, but, you know, a car, we can sit in the car and I press a button, that's a simple solution to the end user, but in order for that to happen, you open up the hood, there's definitely a lot of complex crap going on if you don't know what you're looking at, you know what I mean? My point is, I always laugh when someone's like, it's too complicated. I'm like, not for the entrepreneur. The entrepreneur is going to be the one who's the straight up freaking nerd, right? Who's going way in. They're the ones building the engine. But they have to be able to design and develop it when working the marketer in a way that the marketer can turn around and go, see, simple. Put your key right here. The thing turns on and this is the wheel. You turn it. They don't even know anything else, right? So anyway, what I've been noticing is that my years of going a little bit deep is actually wildly serving a higher end customer, a really, really big business. It's a really, really, really big business. They are, that's been awesome. It's been work. It's because they don't want to know that stuff. That's why they're hiring me. And so I don't need to get on a stage and teach the deep stuff. I don't need to go in a course and put it out. You know what I'm saying? I don't need the stuff that I know, the deeper patterns of what makes something really take off. I can just execute it in a cave and the client is like, sweet, where do I put the key? And I'm like, right here. And it's been so fun. And the pattern, I am just like, it's been amazing to take this skill set and apply it to a much different vehicle than I'm used to applying it in, right? And I love working with the younger businesses. I really do. It's super fun. I would say that I like it. But over the years, as I've, you know, gotten better at and more experienced in, you know, certain aspects of the game, I'm like, I want to further my own education. And at times, it's actually been to the detriment of my sales. Because again, complex does not sell, right? And what I wasn't selling is complex, but the way I was describing it was because I was excited, forgetting that I'm not the customer. Does that make sense? And so I feel like what I've done over the last year is really figured out the balance of how to talk about it with a big business where it's simple. I'm learning how to speak about it in the terms that they need, but also very briefly demonstrate that it's not a shallow pool that they're, you know, that they're looking into. There's a lot of other things that I can go help them with. And, I was on with a guy yesterday who, I was not on the call to pitch him. He's like, hey man, can I get 30 minutes on this thing and the strategy? And I was like, yeah. I saw immediately what the issue was, saw exactly how to solve it, and I drew it out with him in 30 minutes. And he was like, what the heck? It's in 30 minutes, you solved a problem we've been trying to figure out for freaking ever, and it is actually literally costing them millions of dollars to not have this thing solved. And then he just straight up was like, dude, can you just come, just be in our business? And I was, and what I've been finding more and more that's been very fun for me too is that, you know, strategy is one of my all-time top strengths. It's just, if you've ever taken the Clifton Strengths Finders test, you know, it tells you what your top 10 strengths are, like attributes and things. It's really, I didn't know this about myself till like 2 years ago. I took that test, like 7 of my top 10 strengths land in the strategic category. And I was like, that makes a lot more sense, right? I'm a strategy noggin, man. I don't know what it's been really interesting to learn that about myself even further and kind of own that. And I'm like, oh yeah. So what these big businesses, here's been the patterns. Number one, these big businesses have had a sales focus rather than a sales funnel focus. And what they're coming to me is they're like, oh man, we got to, you know, 100 million or usually around that range. And we got to get more traffic. We got to get more leads. We got to get more attention and noise. We got to build brand. We don't know how to do any of that kind of stuff, but we still make a lot of money. Because, and in my head, I'm like, well, it's because you're good at sales, you know, now I need a sales funnel, right? Which starts to be the joining of sales and marketing on the internet. Two different things though, right? Which is why these companies, like, notice where you put your focus. Are you funnel? If that's your focus, funnel. That's actually like, that's a great way to get, you know, leads and sales coming on in. But what these big businesses, the common thread has been is sales team, sales manager, salesperson, sales. Very different focus. Because a sales focus is different than a sales funnel focus. And one totally comes before the other in terms of longevity and where you can go. But they're all meant to work together, right? And one of the reasons these companies are getting stuck is because they haven't built a sales funnel. So I'm not saying to push the sales funnel to the side. This is sales funnel radio, baby. I'm all about the funnel. Right? But it's just been a really interesting thing that the stuff that I get to teach with companies that are around the six-figure range, funny enough, they're a little more addicted to the deep. They're a little more addicted to the deep stuff with the funnel. They know way more about funnels, which is not a bad thing. Their focus, though, is on the funnel, while the big businesses, their focus is on the sales. And so I want to remind everybody as part of this episode to really take a moment to recognize just a quick, I've said this before, and I think it's one of the most, this hit me hard about 3-4 years ago. I woke up one morning and I was like, oh my God, I don't know what spawned this idea, but it hit me hard. And I was like, holy crap, I have accidentally built a marketing company instead of a sales company. Uh-oh. That's a big line that I just said. I was like, uh-oh, I want to boost my sales. I was getting stuck at like the $300,000 per month range. I was just getting stuck there. I was like, what is going on? And as I started thinking more about it and learning more about it and like auditing my stuff and going back through it, it became very obvious that I was more focused on noise and attention getting and lead gen than I was on selling. And funny enough, when I started switching it, I didn't need as many leads as I thought I did because I treated each lead better. Right? This is where a funnel builder often starts to get, if that's like the only, and I'm not saying that's a bad skill, but if you don't have it from the context and lens of sales and marketing and the difference between the two and realizing that a sales funnel is more about sales than it is about marketing. There's almost no marketing, truly. You have to market toward a funnel, right? A funnel is what captures and catches the effects of your marketing. The funnel is not the marketing itself. We don't call it a marketing funnel for a reason. It's a sales funnel, right? And so it's interesting. So yes, go in and do a lot of marketing for sure. But when you as a business owner have more of a marketing focus than a sales focus, you start to build a situation where there's far more leads you could pitch than you are. And you are constantly drinking from this false belief fire hose that unless I'm getting 1,000 opt-ins a day, all right, unless 1,000, then this is a not a successful sales funnel, right? And it's like, oh man, I'm not going to be able to pull this off anymore. Oh my gosh, this is, I'm a failure. I'm not a good funnel builder. I'm not good at marketing. When in reality, and it obviously depends on why someone opted in. It depends why someone's joining your list. It depends why. But the reality is that you don't need as many leads as you think you do when you have a sales focus, right? When you treat the leads better, which is a better customer experience. You fulfill better. It changes everything. It changes everything. So I want you to really think about that real quick. Look over the last year and ask yourself, where even just think about your actual time. You could even chop it up that way and ask yourself, has my focus been on marketing? Has my focus been on sales? Has my focus been on sales funnel? Has my focus been on entrepreneurship? Four very different skill sets. Four wildly different mentalities. I mean, wildly different. Each one of those is its own full-time, nothing else career, right? Marketing, sales funnel, entrepreneurship. And ask yourself, which of those four are you the most gifted in, right? Which of those four do you have the most natural energy and affinity in? I am telling you right now, there's a strong chance that if you decide to zero in on one of those four, you can still understand the language of the other three. So you can talk about it. You can collaborate with other people. I certainly encourage to understand those things. So you're not flying blind, right? That's been one of the problems about, you know, with the ads world for me is it took me so long to just even understand basics that I kind of was at the mercy of any ads agency that I hired. So I needed to go learn the language, right? I didn't know how to do it, but it's the language. You're like, oh, this, change that. Here's this, right? So anyway, I feel like I'm getting off point here a little bit, but my point, well, though, I want to get back to is, these big businesses, the big pattern has been, there's been a few patterns and I want to get to them. Pattern number one has always been that they have a sales focus. They kind of understand a little bit about marketing. Maybe they have a funnel, but it's kind of limping. But the reason they've exploded is they're a sales company that uses marketing to get leads, not a marketing company that hopes for sales at the end. Super different. Right? You know that you've stuck in marketing company versus sales company. If you've been looking out in the marketplace and your wallets and going, man, I got to get more sales. And instead of pitching people who are on your list and instead of going out and following up from the thing you did last week, you're like, I better do another 5-day challenge. Right? That's a marketing activity primarily that ends in a sales activity. It's like, well, a lot of times what's happening is there's not enough sales we do more marketing activities than sales activities. When in reality, these big businesses, these really big companies that are out there, they're doing more sales activities than marketing activities. And it's just, I noticed this, it's been a while since I've been looking at this and I started noticing for myself. And then I started looking in the funnel space as a whole. And I'm like, as a whole? Even though it's called sales funnels, most of us are doing a lot of marketing and we're not doing a lot of pitching. We're not doing a lot of sales. Right? We're not doing a lot of closing, a lot of follow-up. We're not working a pipeline. We're working a funnel. And because of that, it's one of the biggest reasons that companies don't take off when they have a good offer. And it's been so funny to watch these massive, massive businesses. I mean, there's another huge business in Utah that they want me to come be a fractional CMO for them. And they got tons of salespeople. And it's the same story that I'm noticing more and more and more and more that these guys, these big massive businesses, they can sell like crazy. And I'm like, how many phone calls do you need it per day? Like, what would be your dream amount? And they'll be like, man, if we could get just like 2 phone calls for our sales guys each, that would be insane. I'm like, 2? You need 2? Your business is this big? 2? That's it? It's so funny because over in the funnel space, we're like, unless I'm getting 15,000 a second, I don't even deserve my 2 comma club award. Right? And it's like this, it's such an interesting difference in looking at the exact same object. And I know you know what I'm talking about if you've been in this space at all for any amount of time. You're like, what? I know I can't make any guarantees here, but I was like, You're telling me you have an ads budget. Now you're willing to make content. You're willing to go do an event per month. You're willing to do a push per week. You're willing to do some email, make a post, do some DMs, and you are wondering if this is going to get any amount of sales calls through you. I'm like, I do that with a business that doesn't know what the heck they're doing still. Six figures, seven figures, right? Very young gun kind of company still. And they're still super moldable. They're still kind of figuring themselves out, right? You don't really get to eight figures if you're still, right? You gotta, eight figures is a lot about focus and decision-making and cutting away distraction, right? So the seven-figure people are still trying to figure out kind of what they do. I absolutely made $2 million while still trying to figure out what I was going to be when I grew up, right? You can absolutely do that just by virtue of just pitching, right? But I didn't have a lot of clarity back. I have way more clarity now than I did back then. It's really interesting how that works. So a lot of people think they need clarity before they move. It actually comes while you move, not before. It's just been a really funny thing to notice. It's like where the actual energy and attention has been placed on the relationship between marketing, sales funnel, and entrepreneurship. It's like, anyway, so that's been like the first and number one biggest commonality of what I've been experiencing by working with these big businesses. The second thing, and I'll be way faster on this. I spent most of the podcast on this first point. The second thing that I've noticed with these businesses, is that, well, I'll say it the opposite first. If I'm talking with like a six or seven figure business and I'm like, hey, and I do my jam with them, you know, and I'll spend half a day or a full day with someone and I'm like, here you go. And they're like, wow, I get it. Okay. That absolutely would dominate in the marketplace. One of the most poisonous things that I pretty much every time run into with a six, seven, or even eight-figure entrepreneur is they have a hard time even hearing the strategy because they're already thinking who's going to...
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off? And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, what do you mean? He repeated the question and said, well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad. I said, wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent? I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, we've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all. My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and manages the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go hire, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
Get it done. I can't do that because I have to do it. It's a really interesting, it's fascinating. I have a very hard time sharing. This is the strategy. And although I can't ever make any 100% guarantees, I got a lot of case study behind why this is very poised to at least do way better than what you currently are. You know what I mean? But the filter that I always have to break, and I didn't notice this pattern until it's probably only even just a couple months ago, that when I don't know what it's been over the last, it really has been over the last 6 months, massive businesses, you know, as compared to what I'm typically used to working with, massive businesses have been reaching out.
about fractional CMO stuff, asking about some funnel stuff. But what they've all been, here's the commonality. So really hear me on this, okay? The mindset of the business owner is absolutely different, and I'm watching evidence of it, than the mindset of the six-figure or seven-figure owner. The mindset of the really big business, what they do is they hear me without any filter of, how are we going to get that done? But who's going to do it? But I'm already too busy. But is this going to, I don't want to get stuck doing that forever. That's not at all. They just listen to this. Okay, that's the strategy. And then it's like they get entrepreneurial again. And they go, all right, well, if that's the strategy, that makes total sense. Let's go pull that off. That sounds awesome. Okay, that's the copy. That's the positioning. Here's how we're going to position ourselves against and with our competition and against them. Here's the customer. Here's how we're going to flood the marketplace with. And they're like, sweet. Okay, and instead of going, how am I going to do that? They ask, how can we do that? Totally different mindset. And it's a thing that I know all of us entrepreneurs who are really actually selling things out there, whether you're six figure, seven figure, whatever, we understand this principle, right? Rich people literally ask different questions than poor people. Poor people, right? I can't afford it. Rich people, including bigger business owners and CEOs, they say, how can we afford it? Or rather, how could we get this project done? And they don't look at all these strategies saying, I've got to go take that on now. I've got to go put this on my plate now. I got to get married to doing this thing each week now. Instead, they're saying, who on our team could do this? And if we don't have anyone on our team, does anyone know anyone that we could maybe, and then they don't get stuck down with things like salary. And it's not because they're cash flowing. A lot of them are coming to me because they need more sales, right? What they're doing is they're coming to me and then they say, well, what if we strike a little deal with this person and let's do a little collaboration with that individual. What are they motivated by? Do they want cash? They want attention? They want audience? Maybe a little combo of the three there. Okay, cool. Well, let's do that. Hey, could you reach out, get a phone call with that person? They'll do it while I'm on the call. I just dropped the strategy, and instead of them going, is that going to work for me? They're just like, man, you have more experience in this space. Let's just take this and run with it. My guess is, and then what they do is they pull a small team together, one or even two people who go, could you go get this done? And I'll watch them go. They literally make it a task. Hey, so-and-so, could you take the first stab at getting this strategy built at just like a base level? Let's meet about it next week. Is a week okay? Don't worry if you don't totally get it done. We just need some movement. Try to get it to like 99% done as much as possible, and let's take everything off that person's plate. And I watch them, delegation masters, instead of fighting the strategy that I'm dropping. That's one of the most frustrating parts to me about working with six, seven, and eight figure entrepreneurs. It's so funny. Someone will come in. This literally happened last year. Okay. It's about 18 months ago. I was working with this lady and I'm not going to name any names or anything like that, but it was funny. It was like, okay, what I would do is this. And she's like, well, do you know if that's going to work? And I'm like, I mean, I've done it in these other places a lot. And no, there's no guarantees, right? I'm not making any guarantees. But we also know that success leaves clues, and here's the patterns, and here's the marketing. And by the way, I've had clients in this industry that we're talking about right now. It's kind of in the health space, and then we spent the next like 3 months. I was like trying to get her on board all the time, every step of the freaking way. I hate that kind of client. I hate it. I'm like, can we just freaking execute or I am out? Like my experience matters too here. You know what I mean? Like I don't want to work with someone who's just constantly like, oh my gosh. So like when they're like I've just noticed that these $100 million plus businesses, the operator or the CEO or the main decision maker, they are way more coachable as a stereotype than a stereotypical six, seven, and eight figure entrepreneur. Way more coachable. They don't sit down and say, that's the strategy that's crushing right now, or has the longest standing way of moving and having some success with that. They don't sit down and go, are you sure? What do you mean? Prove it. Are you kidding? You mean I have to do it? I can't do that. Look what's on my plate. I can't.
They're not asking that. They're saying, how can I get it done? Who could I put in charge with that? How could I delegate that? Who could I delegate to? Is there a way that we could create a weekly meeting, right? Very short meeting, that talks about the success and the issues of what's going on with this project. Who am I putting in charge of this? Okay, you go. And they're these delegation animals. And I think it's been one of the biggest things for me to notice is that to be an entrepreneur is to build a really cool offer for a legitimate problem. But to be a business owner, wildly different skill set. And I'm watching it again. What the difference is they still are entrepreneurial, but they are delegation animals. It's like a skill set that's immediate. It's interesting. They are leadership delegation animals. And, instead of fighting the strategy, they go, oh, Steve, you've been in this space for 10 years, have built for some of the largest names, not only for, but with, side by side, shoulder by shoulder for some. You've done a lot of really interesting. I'm not going to sit here and try to fight you on whether or not that strategy worked for us. My guess is that that's why we're paying you. You're saying in your name and your reputation, your business, you're coming to me saying that that's probably the thing that's going to work. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I would do if I was in your shoes, right? And that's what you're paying me for. I'm going to act like a fiduciary right now. I'm going to say, this is what I would do if I was you. And I go, sweet, I'm not going to fight you on that. Hey, let's go get it done. How can we get it done the fastest way possible? Stop being perfectionist. Hey, 1 week, sweet. And they just get it out the door. They see what happens, spaghetti against the wall, make some tweaks and fire again, make some tweaks and fire again, make some tweaks and fire again. And it's this attitude. Really, 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 really interesting to watch it. Exactly the opposite of usually what I have to work with. I accidentally, and without me wanting to be, I usually become a life coach for a 6, 7, and 8-figure entrepreneur. And I'm like, hey, here it is. And then they're like, oh my gosh, Steven just told me I can't have a life or go on that vacation that I wanted to. And I'm like, I didn't say that. I'm talking about the strategy itself. Stop assuming all responsibility for getting that thing done. Be a leader, be a business owner, right? Sunset some of the entrepreneurial mentality. Don't get rid of it. You still need to be entrepreneurial. But what we're going to start doing is you got to start being the delegator. You got to start pulling in the right people. It's one of the coolest things I ever watched Russell do whenever we put out projects. He is an excellent student, I'd say he's one of the most coachable people I've ever witnessed in my entire life. Is it really that surprising then that his company is that successful? He takes advice. He takes advice, solicited or unsolicited. I've watched it. I watched it for years. I did podcasts on this very principle. I remember it was one of the first things I ever really talked about in Sales Funnel Radio. I don't remember which episode because there's so many hundreds of them now. Okay. Well, we're on like together near like 600 or something. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but it's a lot now. But I remember it was definitely in the first 100. I did an episode about what it was like watching Russell get coached, because I would come in the door, you know, and my desk was next to his literally. And so he'd be like, you know, we'd catch up like, how you doing? And we'd chat back and forth. And then he'd be like, yeah, I had my call today with my so-and-so coach. Man, she did awesome. It's so great. She taught me all this stuff about myself. I'm like, oh, cool. That's awesome. Yeah. And then after that, you know, there's my fitness coach, and they came in and he's helped me like change my body composition. Oh, cool. This was all before like coming into work, and he's got his kids, right? And at the time, I think his amazing wife was pregnant, you know, and so he's like busy, you know, and it's not a bad thing to be busy. It's actually a very good thing to be busy. Not frantic. That's a different thing. But busy is good, right? he's just a master at using his time. And then, you know, he'd kick off what he wanted me to do in that day. And then he'd be like, all right, sweet, I got this call with this coach. I think I sat down, and he was in that episode where I showed that he had like 14 coaches at the same time for different things. He believes in getting coached. And it's been a really interesting thing for me to notice that those people who are really, 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 really big, number one, they have more of a sales focus than above all. They wake up and think, how can I make more money for the business today? And they don't put it on themselves. They're delegating, which leads to the second skill set. They're saying to themselves, let's bring in an industry expert. What strategy would you go use right now? Well, here's our situation, right? It's consulting. They really listen to consulting. And they say, oh, that's the strategy you go use right now? I'm not going to fight you on that. You've been in the space forever. And my guess is your reputation is also tied to what we do with it. And I'm like, yeah, why would I give you a bat? That's a funny thing when someone asks me what I would go do. I'm not going to lead him down the wrong path. Steve said to go do this and it freaking sucked. All right. My name's on the line too. So when someone's like, oh, that's not going to work for me, I'm like, do you understand how like illogical that is for me to come forward and be like, you know what I'm saying? It's like when I've pitched certain people inside into my mastermind, they're like, and I'm like, this is what I go do. And I'd love to just kind of hold your hand as you go do it. This is consulting, right? Here's what I go do over the next year, right? And get this in place. And they're like, will it work for me? And I'm like, no, I'm going to tell you to do something dumb because I want my mastermind to be full of people that don't trust me. And I'm off to, I'm going to go give them strategies that don't work. It's like, yeah, like I'm pretty positive. And I'm saying that with a lot of weight behind what I'm telling you, right? Lots of hours on the mic, tons of hours. Like I've lost track of how many stages I've counted on or spoken on that are not mine. Hundreds. I don't know. Like it's a really funny thing. It's just this little attitude thing that comes out. When I'm working with these big people and I'm like, that is very juxtaposed of, you know, very opposite of what these 6, 7, and 8 figure entrepreneurs. And I know a lot of it is just the time under the, you know, time in the chair, right? That they're eventually, I feel like what I've noticed it is these 6 or 7 or 8 figure entrepreneurs. It's mostly the 6 and 7s. The 6s are trying to hold everything on their own. The 7s are starting to realize that they can't. They're trying to scale sales teams, but they have like hard, it's like, they like know they need to let go of the vine, but they're having a hard time letting go of the vine. The 8 figure entrepreneurs, they're really starting to let go of the vine and get good at it. And so it's almost like, it's a really fascinating pattern to watch. And I kind of didn't see the pattern until, I don't know, it's probably 6 or 700 million dollar plus companies have reached out, you know, over the last, really this last year, something's shifted. And they've been approaching me a lot. I had the most recent one was last night. That's what made me think about Minkin's podcast episode. And, it's just been such an interesting thing to notice, man. And I'm going to say the third thing, and I'm going long on this podcast, but I really want you to, is it really so shocking that very successful people literally think differently than those who are not as successful? It's not that surprising, right? What's been surprising to me is to notice what those things are. Because I know what they are in terms of marketing systems and the sales systems and funnels and all this stuff and what they're doing to get attention and brand and messaging and position, all the stuff that we do to help something have the highest chance of blowing up, you know, that we possibly can. But it's been interesting to notice how they handle strategy, which leads me to number 3. Right. So first, sales focus. Second is this. They're experts at delegation, man, and just to watch the example of it. But the third thing is, and they're all kind of related to each other, but they're these different lenses on probably even the same lesson. The third lesson, or maybe a third lens on the same lesson, is that not a single one of these, it's been really interesting, not a single one of these big businesses have said, Steve, could you personally build, manage, maintain, run, and basically own the doing of this strategy? I guess it's kind of related to the second one here. But like without me even saying anything, yeah, I got no problem. We'll build funnels for people. Jake Leslie and I built a funnel building agency, funneltactics.com. If you want us to build your funnel, we were Russell's funnel team. And we've built funnels for some really big names, you know. And now a lot of small names. And, you know, we're not the cheapest option on the block, but you're paying us for our experience. And to remove chance as much of it as possible, right? So, anyway. So, every time I share a strategy with a 6, 7, or 8 figure entrepreneur, there's this freak out internal moment that they kind of go through either vocally or not. And most of the time it's vocal though. They're like, I just can't go do that. That's not going to work for me. And I'm like, you got to give me a better reason than that. Cause I can give you a lot of reasons that it possibly could. And it always comes down to them going, well, it's because I am the one that has to go do it. Right. And so maybe this is still part of this number two here. And so they'll disregard the whole strategy on just that single basis. And I'm like, well, just because that's the answer and just because you don't like the how doesn't mean it's not the right what, right? So what I've noticed, though, and maybe this is number three then. Number three is, without fail, these multi-hundred million dollar, you know, nearing a billion dollar style companies, you know, a lot of them have thousands of clients, or, you know, a lot of them have hundreds of employees. They're big companies, especially compared to what a lot of us are used to. And they literally, and I, the first time it was said to me, I was like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense. What's been shocking to me is how much this phrase, or a version of this phrase, has been said. And I'm pretty sure these different companies are not talking to each other. They are literally tired of coming up with strategy on their own. And a lot of them tell me, a lot of them, the one last night did. So we don't need you to go build it. We'll take care of that. But what we want you to do is that as we're building it, we just want you to spot check it. You know, we actually don't want you to go build the thing, because we want, they'll tell me, I want my team to do the building so that they're intimate with the project so they can run it, you know, once you're gone. So will you kind of handhold us as we build it, and as we launch it, and as we put it out the door? And it's been a really fascinating thing to observe, because most of the time it's actually the exact opposite that I experience whenever I'm on the phone with someone and I'm sharing with them, like, I would go do this, and here's the branding I would make. I don't mean in terms of colors, but we'll talk about colors. Colors is barely branding, by the way. Barely. It's like saying tires are a car. Anyway, so, like, hey, here's this. And they're like, sweet, I want to go put this out the door, go put it out the end. And they're like, sweet, I'm going to go do this. Steven, we just want you for strategy. And I'll literally tell them, like, yeah, I'm down to help you guys build it. And we have a funnel agency, we could, but, you know, so a lot of times what they'll do is they'll have us build the original, just the pages, because they don't have like a funnel builder on their team. But in terms of installing it into their business, and in terms of you know, as much of the sequencing and even the promoting and the different marketing stuff, a lot of times they don't want me to actually build it. And it's been surprising, because most of the time people want me to build it. They're like, well, you just build it personally. And I have a guess. And my guess is the reason they don't want me to go build it is so that, I kind of alluded to it, is so that when I'm gone, because they actually know what the heck to do with it. And it's actually been a breath of fresh air. You know, I got to tell you, so there's case in point on this very point, and this very topic here, and this big, big lesson. Russell was approached by the TV show The Prophet on CNBC. You know, Marcus Lemonis, to build funnels. You know, Russell asked Marcus Lemonis to come speak at, I think it was the second Funnel Hacking Live. It's the one, my first one. Well, I started working for Russell like 5 days later, right? It's not my plan. Totally a blessing. And it's amazing that even happened. Well, Marcus was like, what do you guys do? All right, this is a backstage conversation before he was on. What do you guys do? And Russell told him. And then after FHL, Marcus is like, could you build some of those funnels for the TV show? And so we ended up building five funnels for different, you know, a funnel for different, five different episodes of the TV show The Prophet on CNBC. It's really, really, really fascinating. Well, it was really cool for the show. You can go watch them, right? Reruns of the TV show The Prophet. You can go see these. What actually happened afterward, though, was I remember I was sitting in the room and Marcus calls Russell. Marcus Lemonis is there. He's like, hey, man, what really happened is we built these funnels. And they weren't doing anything with them. And we're like, we're pretty good at this, you know. So Russell called Marcus Lemonis, and Russell was like, hey, man. And I remember he said this to him. He goes, Marcus, what we feel like is we've built you the equivalent of a Ferrari. This is exactly what he said to him. I could take you right to the spot Russell was standing when he said it to him. He's on the phone and I'm listening. I can, you know, you can hear someone's phone call, even though it's not on speaker, because it's just kind of loud. He's like, Marcus, we built you the equivalent of a Ferrari gassed up, sitting in your driveway, and we even turned it on, and just nobody's touched it. And Marcus goes, Russell, nobody knows what to do with it. And I was like, oh. And it was a good lesson. So what ended up happening is I started running the funnels for the people that we were building the funnels for. And I remember it was about 8 months in, I turned to Russell and I was like, dude, I can't handle this anymore, because I was running 8 different companies' funnels while building Russell's. And so that's when I put out these different posts, and I was like, Russell and I are looking for funnel builders. I'm going to train you personally. We need to leave you behind after we finish building funnels for clients. We need to leave you behind to run the thing. No one knows what to do with it after the fact. And so that's when I started doing that. And that's really where my own personal funnel building process started coming from, was trying to document what Russell and I were doing. That's why my funnel, not just me building for the people, but I have funnel building courses that I do that are just awesome. And they're like nothing that's in the marketplace, because it comes from, you know, us, but I'm a little more of I'm a systems processes thinker. And so, you know, anyway, so whatever. But if you're interested, let me know. Go to stevedlarson.com. Anyway, it's besides the point. What we started recognizing, that there was a huge problem in building a funnel for a big company, was that they did not know what to do with it after it was built. And so that's why, like, when I first got hired at ClickFunnels, it was not actually for ClickFunnels. I was hired to be Russell's personal funnel builder. So we didn't really build any funnels for ClickFunnels for like the first 8 or 9 months. It was after that that I remember we were both kind of discouraged. We had built funnels for some massive people, because we were trying to help these big people understand. We were trying to get funnels popular, right? There's a lot of work that goes into making a marketplace besides just selling a product, right? And it's a lot of stuff that I haven't really taught much, but because most people are not trying to build, I don't think most people should go try to build a blue ocean, stay in the red. But there's a lot that we did though to try to get that out the door. So it was about 9 months in when I remember Russell looked at me and he goes, dude, maybe we should just stop building funnels for other people. Let's just build funnels for ourselves. You know, this ClickFunnels thing's really been taking off. Let's go build funnels just for ClickFunnels. And we stopped all client work. And that's when we started just building funnels to grow ClickFunnels. And that's really where, because by that 8 or 9 months in, we went from like 14,000 users to like 20,000. But then over the next like not even year, we got it to 60,000 users. Because we just started building funnels for ClickFunnels. And that's why all these software companies have been reaching out. They're like, what was that playbook? You know, what did you guys do? How do you build the community? There's a lot that goes into it. And there's things we did that worked, there's things we did that didn't. But anyway, back to the main point of this episode. I'm just trying to show some backstory on why this has been so cool for me to hear. These big businesses, a lot of them want me to build the funnel, but they want me to do it in a way that when I'm gone, they know what the heck to do and run the thing. Right? It's one thing to have it built. Running a funnel is a totally different skill set. It's completely different. And so that's been really fun for me. It's like, all right, Jake and I'll go build the thing for you, but we got to show you how to run it. Because when we're gone, it's going to look like this thing is just dead weight, unless you know what to do with it, right? And so that's been the third thing that I've noticed with these massive, massive businesses, is they are not looking for someone to come in and just do the thing and walk. They want their team trained. Right? So number one, they're a sales focused organization realizing that they need some kind of funnel, or they need more leads for their sales. Marketing and sales funnels are just related to their sales efforts. Big, big lesson. All right. That was a whole lesson number one. That's been a long episode. Lesson number two, right, has been that these guys are delegation masters. And instead of rejecting or accepting the strategy on their ability to pull it off, they just accept the strategy from someone who's an industry expert and say, let's go do that. And they start pulling a team together. But the third thing I'm noticing with all these, it's been over the last year, and it's been basically every time, these three things. The third thing is that a lot of them will be like, well, I don't have anyone that's going to build the funnel on my team. It's like after they realize, oh, no one on our team knows how to build a funnel. Okay, hey, Steve, could you build that? But I need you to do it in a way that when you're gone, we still know what the heck to do. And so they're very focused on training the team on the strategy rather than themselves becoming an expert in the strategy themselves. That's not what they're doing. They're going out and they're saying, okay, I understand this is what we need to go do. Please, could you train my team how to do this? Not necessarily me. And what it does is it lets them stay a business owner. They're not trying to be the marketer. They're not trying to be the funnel builder. They're not trying to be the salesperson. They're not trying to be the entrepreneur. They're trying to be a business owner, which means it's a series of systems that is as self-reliant as possible. So notice, if you've been stuck at 6, 7, or 8 figures, right? And you're like, I don't understand why I'm stuck here. I want you to really think, what I've been describing today are business owner skills. Entrepreneurship skills, small part, absolutely part of that. Right? Marketing skills, small part of that. Just understanding the language. Funnel building skills, I wouldn't even go bother with them. If you're not trying to be a funnel builder, it's its own career. All right. Go after the people that know what the heck they're doing and just try to find a way to hire them, right? And ask how can I rather than I can't afford it or my time can't afford it or look how much is already on my plate. Broken mentality. That's not business owner mentality. That's it's not sexy to be a DIYer in your actual business. That's not a business. That means you're the business, right? DIY is a really awesome entrepreneurship mentality at the beginning, but it gets very unsexy. I'm just going to do it myself. Don't DIY your business. It's literally how to stay small, right? I mean literally. And the whole point of this episode, I'm going to shut up now, has been, I'm just sitting in my car in my garage. The whole point of this episode is to help you guys understand that so that you don't walk around anymore, you know, and be like, Why am I stuck? I doubt it's because you have a product or offer problem. I doubt it's because you have an actual, there's no more customers out there. I doubt it, seriously. What the issue is usually around the mentality of being about a sale rather than funnels, a sale rather than marketing, a sale rather than entrepreneurship. It's all about delegation and pulling together people around a strategy so that they can pull off the strategy without you as much as possible. They should be able to make 99% of decisions in your name without asking you about it. The fact that somebody wrote into support asking a question is not the real issue. The real issue is that your team comes to you and says, how should I respond to this ticket? Does that make sense what I just said? It's not a problem that someone wrote into support. That's a good thing. That's why you have support. The problem is that your person who runs support turns to the business owner and goes, I don't know how to respond to this. That's a broken team. That means that team member does not have autonomy. Unless there is something that is so outside the norms that is being written in about, why are they reaching out? That means that person doesn't know how to do their job without asking you how to do their job. Get it? That's what breaks. So when your marketer or when whoever it is, if you're still a team of one, I get it. That's where everybody starts. That's awesome. You are not disqualified from what I'm saying. But as fast as possible. That's why I was an affiliate marketer, by the way. All my affiliate earnings, I just went and I used those to go build and hire people for little one-off tasks because I knew that even if I could do it better than them, it still was going to take my time, right? The issue isn't that you need to go build a funnel. The issue is that you are doing the funnel. The issue, unless you want to be the professional funnel builder on your team, then that's not the problem, right? Right. Eventually it is though, if you're trying to be a business owner, right? If the issue is not that you need to go, we got to go make some content. They're like, well, what content should we create? The issue is that they're asking you what content create. If the team, it does not have autonomy, cannot think for themselves, cannot make the 80% of this. Tim Ferriss teaches this in the 4-Hour Workweek. If your team cannot make 80% of decisions without talking to you, that's a problem. The army teaches this. Information must flow up. Decision-making must be pushed all the way down to the lowest grunt, right? But it's funny when I'm working with these entrepreneurs, a lot of them, they're just like, man, how come I hire somebody and it feels like I got more work? And I was like, because you're not teaching them how to work without you. There's no SOPs. You're not teaching a process. There's no system you're playing. You are the system, right? And it's just been a really fascinating thing for me to observe. I've never quite so starkly observed this in a big, big, big business compared to small, small, small businesses than over the last year. And I'm like, I got to do an episode about this. This lesson is just way too important. So anyway, hey, if you guys are interested in learning more about how I help put these processes in place for other people, go to titansofindustry.com. That's my mastermind. If you want Jake Leslie and I to build your funnel, go to funneltactics.com. And if you just want my thing that teaches you how to build a funnel, how to build a profit machine, which is usually the same 5 systems that you need in place, which if you don't have, you're the system. And it's also why your profit's low. Go to deadprofitsdontlie.com. I know I'm pitching, but hey, I just dropped some serious value on you. So let me have that. And then if you want a capitalist pig shirt, go to capitalistpigshirt.com. You guys are great. Thank you so much. Let me know what you think about these episodes. They're not as professionally recorded. I have spent so much time driving that I put them in my car. So hopefully it's cool that I'm doing them while I drive my kids around for an hour and a half every morning going to school. So you guys are awesome. Go get rich. Piss off some socialists.
Running a business can be exhausting. Building your website shouldn't be. With Wix, you can express your ideas, give direction, then leave the heavy lifting to AI. From site creation to branded content and images. Have fun with the details. Customize what you want the way you want. And manage your whole business from a centralized dashboard with expert AI tools. Build, scale, and enjoy the incredible results. You can do it all yourself on Wix.
Now at Verizon, we're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's our best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, we got you. Visit your local Chicago Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.